We should be thankful every day, right? God in His mercy has saved us. Brother, you're going to leave these wires here. I might just, you know, have a fit after a while and trip. We don't need that. The preacher falls down, everybody will freak out. They'll think that God killed me or something. No video. But you know, we got cell phones these days. You never know when somebody's recording you. You know, I'm looking around now and I don't see one. There's one right there. 2 Kings chapter 6 is where we're at this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, Old Testament book, beginning with verse 1. I haven't looked at this passage in a good long while, so I chose it for today. And talking about, and it's got a good message to it, have you lost your edge? Have you lost your cutting edge? We'll get to that in just a moment. Verse 1 says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' Verse 4 says, 'So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, 'Take it up.' So he reached out his hand and took it." Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we pray now that you'd help us to focus on hearing your voice, and pray that you'd speak to the hearts of all of us this morning. Father, that you would use me as your mouthpiece. Speak to your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This event spoken of here took place a long time ago, 8th century B.C. Y'all remember that, don't you? I don't. Long time ago. There's many people in this Bible story, but there's two main characters. There's an unnamed prophet, a student, a young man probably, and there was the prophet Elisha. The text, of course, we read from was 2 Kings chapter 6, and it begins telling us of a problem that these young students had. The place that they were dwelling in was too small. And so one of the students asked the teacher, who was Elisha, "Can we go out down by the Jordan where there's lots of trees there, and can we build a new place to meet, basically?" Well, not wanting to be without their trusted teacher, they said, "You come with us." He agreed to go with them. And as the story goes, each student began doing his part. When one of the young students was cutting down a tree, and the iron axe head flew off the handle and went into the water straight down to the bottom. Now, this young student lost his axe head. He lost his, in other words, his cutting edge. He lost his effectiveness to do the work. And you think about that this morning. There's a message there. Most of us have worked jobs or are working jobs and had some measure of success. We've worked jobs out in the world. We've served in the church. But was there ever a time when you felt like you just didn't have it anymore? Things were not going as smoothly as they used to. Or worse still, you lost the drive and the energy to get the job done like you used to. Oftentimes, it seems with me, in my secular job, it seems like, and also in this job as well, it seems like you go along and everything kind of falls into place and everything's going good and you're just kind of trucking on down the road. And then there's a period of time that just, you just seem like you're down in a slump, you know. You're just kind of down in a slump. You kind of lost your cutting edge, or as they say today, you just wasn't feeling it. Just not feeling it. Have you ever lost your effectiveness in doing the Lord's work? Well, how could someone lose their effectiveness in doing the Lord's work? Isn't that the primo work to do, right? Working for the Lord, doing things in the church, serving in the community in the capacity of the Lord. Well, it is possible that we lose our cutting edge for the Lord. And if we've lost that, if we've lost our cutting edge for the Lord, we need to ask God to help us get it back, right? We've got to have it back in order to be effective servants for the Lord. There's a couple of things, I believe, in this passage that teaches us that might help us get back our cutting edge, you might say, for the Lord. First, like the young student in our text, we must admit that we've lost it. We have to admit that we've lost our cutting edge, that we're not quite as effective as we once were. The first step the young student had was to admit that he no longer had his cutting edge. It had slipped off the axe handle. It had fell into the Jordan River. It sank to the bottom. He had been busy doing important work for God, but suddenly he was just no longer effective at it. To admit that we have a problem is always the first step. It's often the most difficult step, because to admit that we have a problem kind of feels like failure, doesn't it? And we don't like to admit that we have failed at something. A lot of times we just want to make an excuse for it, right? We failed in it. It's somebody else's fault, right? It surely wasn't my fault, because if I would have done it, we wouldn't have failed. So it's somebody else's fault. But it's not always true, is it? Sometimes it is our fault. We don't like to admit failure. The young student could have reacted in other ways instead of admitting that he had had a problem. He could have been happy that his axe head was gone, now that he wouldn't have to work. He lost it, so he could just sit back and just stop altogether and just sit down. He could have found a nice, cool shade tree, poured himself a glass of sweet tea. It was probably the southern part of the region. Every time I go up north, they don't have any sweet tea. My wife would ask for sweet tea, and they'd say, "Huh? What?" So I always tell Susie when we're up north, don't ask for sweet tea. Just ask for tea. If they have sweet tea, they'll ask you if they want it, you want it sweet or not. That's the trick. Remember that. When you go up north, people don't know. They don't know. Anyway. On the other hand, this student, he could have refused to admit that he lost the axe head. Like some people do, they say, "What problem? I don't have a problem." You can see problems all around them, and they don't admit it. What if he just kept swinging the handle without the axe head on it, and he's beating on the tree? It's not doing a thing. Why? Because he's lost his cutting edge, right? It's gone. He's going through the motions. He's doing the same thing he was doing, making a lot of noise, but he wasn't accomplishing anything. Nothing was getting done. And did you catch that part where the young student said, "It was borrowed"? He said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." What we would have done would have said, "Oh, man, Matt, I dropped it in the water. I borrowed it from Uncle Fred. And it's gone. So what am I going to tell him?" Actually, iron axes were rare in the 8th century B.C., not to mention that they were very expensive. I doubt seriously if this young student, if it was his, he would have been able to afford it. So he borrowed it from someone else, and if someone else hadn't loaned it to him, he wouldn't have been able to work. Have you ever considered the fact that all of our abilities, resources, and talents are all borrowed? Who gave them to us? Who gives you the ability to do anything? God does. God gifts us that way with these abilities, talents, and resources. They're on loan from us, from God, on loan to us. And God hasn't given us permission to stop working, has He? I don't remember Him ever telling me that. I could think up of a lot of reasons why I shouldn't continue to work. Lord, I don't feel like it. I'm not feeling it. I'm hurting. Got up this morning, I had a headache. My neck hurts. My shoulders hurt. You ever have any aches and pains? Lord, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like standing up there and preaching. But guess what? I've got to do it anyway because that's what they tell me. If I don't show up, somebody might notice. Right? Well, it's the same with you. We know when you're not here. And we miss you. And these talents that we have, though, they're on loan to us from God. And God expects us to use them. And so if we have them and we're trying to use them, but we feel like we've lost the edge for doing His work, the first thing we have to do is admit somewhere there's a problem. Well, second thing here, like the young student, we need to determine the exact spot where we lost our cutting edge. In other words, go back to the last place where we believe we had it. That's what you do when you lose something, right? What does everybody always ask you? Well, where did you have it last? Well, what were you doing? Where have you been? Backtrack your steps, right? Those same kind of things. That fits. What do you last remember that you had it when you felt like you were effective in ministry, or you felt like you were effective doing things for the Lord? When do you remember last having it? By the way, I'm not just giving a speech this morning, because I know there's people here that feel that way, right? We feel like we don't have it. We need to backtrack our steps back there some years ago when we did have it and figure out what happened. Go back to the last place. This young student, he didn't plan to lose his cutting edge. It wasn't something that he thought about doing or even planned the date that it would happen. We don't plan to do it either, do we? We don't plan to lose it. Somewhere along the road, we just have the tendency to lose our contribution to building up of God's kingdom. Like that young student in our text, we don't plan for that to happen. If we ever get to that point, or we are at that point, where we feel like we lost our cutting edge, we're not effective in doing God's work, we need to remember that our cutting edge was left where we last had it. Something happened that caused us to quit. Something happened that caused us to get off course. Maybe we need to ask some other questions as well. Like why? Why did we lose our cutting edge with the Lord? Have I let other things come along and push God's work over to the side? As we say today, kick it to the curb. Have we lost our cutting edge because we stopped praying or reading God's word, or have we lost it because maybe we haven't told anybody about Jesus in a long time? Did we lose it because we got sin? There's personal sin some way that entangled us and caused us to lose our cutting edge for the Lord. Maybe it's because we don't tithe anymore. We don't give our resources and talents to the Lord. When the young student here lost his cutting edge, he first had to have the courage to admit that he didn't have it anymore. And then he had to determine where he lost it. And the third thing was he had to do his part in getting it back. Elisha here in the story, the prophet, the teacher of this group, the power that he had came from God. He wasn't a magician. That's what the world would look today and see him as, wouldn't it? He made this axe head float to the top. I've never seen a piece of iron float, even in the thickest of gooky water. It always sinks to the bottom. But Elisha, he had this power that was on loan from God, and the student needed his help, and he used it. So the miracle on the part of Elisha shows us that Elisha was concerned about this young student's problem, but more importantly, this miracle shows us that God was deeply concerned. I think this clearly illustrates some basic truths about God. First, God is deeply concerned with you as an individual. Isn't that great? Of all the people on the planet right now, God is concerned about you. I think that's wonderful, don't you? It's great. God is concerned about me, and He's concerned about you, and He's concerned about what's going on in your life. He's concerned about where you hurt. He's concerned about your problems and your struggles and all these things. God is concerned about you. That's wonderful news. Wonderful. You are very valuable to God. I don't care what anybody says or what anybody else might think about you. You are valuable to God. Maybe the boss man don't think so, right? Who cares? God thinks I'm valuable, right? Maybe the family members treated you awful and been ugly to you, and who cares? God thinks I'm valuable. And that's all that matters, isn't it? Listen, that'll change your whole attitude on life if you remember that one thing, right? God thinks that I'm valuable. Another truth here is that with God, there's no little problems. We always think we have to go to God with the big stuff. Let's not bother God with the little stuff. Now, God asks us in 1 Peter 5:7. Peter says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, because the Lord cares for you. All of your cares. If it matters to you, it matters to God, right? If it matters to you, it matters to God. Anybody have a problem today? Anybody have a concern? We probably all do, don't we? We probably all do. Question is, what have you done with it? Are you fretting and worrying about it today? Are you worried about what's going to happen, for instance, next week? School has either started or it's fixing to start. Are you worried about what might happen? Are you worried what the year's going to be like? Why don't you cast it upon the Lord? You say that you're a Christian, right? You believe in God? Why not cast the cares on Him like He said to? Let Him help you through those things, right? Hey. I got to do something silly once in a while, because you'll go to sleep if I don't. Hey. What I was going to say with that hey, that I am blessed with a new boss where I work. So you know, when you got a new boss coming in, you're always wondering, oh boy, this is the third boss I've had since I've worked there for these 10 years. Is he going to be a domineering, controlling kind of individual that drives everybody crazy? Is he going to be OCD? Because everything's not perfect, you're in trouble, you're always looking over your shoulder. Is he going to be out to make a name for himself? Is he out to prove something? One thing that made me feel good about this guy, he's in his 60s. And I thought, if he was going to prove anything, he's already proved it by now. He's worked through that, I think. And come to find out, he's a pretty great guy. He really is a pretty great guy. But see, that can cause anxiety, right? The unknown things that are in front of us that cause us anxiety. Well, why don't you cast those cares upon God? Because He invited us to do that. No problem is too small. Like you see on the sides of these carpenter and plumber trucks and so forth. No job is too small and none too big. And that describes God, right? Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. It's all. He cares about it all. A to Z. Now, a man losing an axe head, that doesn't seem too much of a problem to us these days, does it? If you lose it, go buy another one. If it falls in the lake, I'm not going after it. I'm going to go down to Home Depot or Lexington Lumber or hardware store or wherever it is you like to go. Pick up another one. Right? I remember one time I was swinging a hammer. I was studding out a wall in a basement and driving in masonry nails into the concrete. You know, you got to swing pretty hard to make them dudes go in that concrete, right? Swinging with all my might, and all of a sudden that head came off that hammer and went across the room. Now, my kids were small back then, and I was very thankful at that moment that they were not down there watching me, because a hammer head would have flown by their heads, possibly. And then I think that would have been the end of my life, pretty much as I knew it. But God not only cares about you and is concerned about your problems, but God will help you to solve your problems as well, right? He will help you solve your problems that in turn will return glory and honor back to Him. God will cause, as we see in this text, your solution to float to the surface. Hey! That's right! Amen, brother! God will do it. Let's talk about what this student did to get back his cutting edge. His work didn't end when he admitted that he had a problem. It didn't end when he sought help from the prophet Elisha. Elisha had the power. He had the spiritual gift from God. He could have made the axe head float to the surface and then just miraculously jump back on the end of the handle. But that's not what happened. He made it float to the surface and he told the young student to reach out and take it. In other words, God did His part. Now you do your part, right? You reach out and take it. God will surface it right in front of you to solve the problem. You take it and finish it, right? You fix it. You take it and do it. Sometimes we just want God to fix everything, don't we? We just want Him to fix everything. We don't want to do anything. God, you just fix it. Treat God like a genie in a lamp. We just rub the lamp and say it, and it's done. God did His part. You do your part. God wanted him to reach out his hand and recover the axe head himself. We need to take a serious look at your cutting edge when doing the work of God. Listen. As you know, this church was without a pastor a long time before I came here. And I didn't really know what I was getting into. I just had to trust God. That's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? Just trust God and come on, do it. But I have got to have people with a cutting edge to help me. We've got to put it on and make it happen. When we hear of opportunities, we need to seriously consider, is that something God has surfaced in front of me and He's ready for me to reach out and grab it? Right now, step in announcement mode. I mean, for instance, a teacher for 4th through 6th grade students here. The kids are here and they will come regularly if there's a class for them to go to, right? That's in the bulletin today. Could that be something that God has floated to the surface? It's in front of you and He wants you to reach out and take it and run with it, right? Then last week I said something about people for the nominating committee. Oh my goodness, it's the nominating committee. How hard could it be? I even made it easy this time. We sent out letters. Did you get a letter? Get your letter yet this week? You just sign it, send it back. But when I say, everybody wants to serve on a nominating committee, it's like, can I hear a pin drop, Brother Robert? Ding, ding, ding. Everybody's saying, oh, I don't want to say nothing first. I don't want to be the only one to say something. So you just leave the preacher hanging out there to dry. It's like, did anybody hear me? But seriously, I almost said, do you want to make this church great again? But then I'd be talking about someone running presidential election and stuff. And he's talking about America. And I'm not up here proposing you vote for anybody, so don't leave here today and say, the preacher keeps putting in these little innuendos in his sermon. He wants me to vote for Trump. No, you vote for whom God leads you to vote for, but just vote. That's what I'm proposing. Vote. Now, if you tell me, if you don't ask me who I'm going to vote for, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to do it from here. If you catch me off to the side, I will. Now, what were we talking about? We were talking about you serving in the church, weren't we? Do you want to make this church great again? I'll just say it. Sure you do. Let's get it going, right? Let's hook it up. Pull it up. Let's go. Pull up them straps. Pick up that axe head. God's floating it to the surface. You pick it up. You see, that's it. God will always do His part if we do our part, right? He always will. He's never failed me. He always does His part. Far too many Christians look at the local church too as a place to be served rather than a place to serve. They say, well, what programs do you have for me and my family? If you don't have them, I'll go down to the megachurch down the road. They got all that stuff down there. See, that's something else about, and I'm not knocking big churches, I'm talking about big churches. Man, I'd love to preach to 500 or 1,000 people. I wouldn't be a bit scared. And I'm not knocking that at all. I used to belong to one. Loved it. But it seems like there's so much talent in the big church and all the smaller churches are struggling for help and they're all congregated down the road. The thing of it is, if someone comes to a church and they say, what have you got for me? How can you serve me? The attitude should be, what can I do to serve God there? I think God has a big, big blessing for those that would say, you know what? I can do that, and I can do it over there. I don't have to blend into the big crowd. I can do it. And it doesn't have to be something like I'm doing. It can be something like serving on the nominating committee, right? Or some other committee. It's kind of in the back. But it takes all of us, all of our gifts and talents to make a go of it, doesn't it? So let's do it. What can I do to help the preacher by serving at this church and doing my part? Maybe you feel like you don't have the cutting edge because you never had it. And you get it by stepping up to serve. When I started this, I didn't just automatically have it. I had to just step up faithfully and start doing it. And I will say this about the teacher I asked for a minute ago. If you would say, maybe that's the place for me, I will teach you how to do it. I'll give you the stuff you need. I'll give you the materials. I'll sit down with you and I'll show you how to do it. How much better can that get, right? I'll show you how to do it. I'm expecting a flood of volunteers. Now, one more thing about this student. When he lost the axe head, he probably wouldn't have lost it to begin with if he had only checked every once in a while to see if it was still tight, right? Instead of just picking it up and using it, see if it's still tight once in a while. And so by that I mean every once in a while, we need to kind of check ourselves spiritually, don't we? Where am I at with God? Am I farther along than I was a year ago? Have I slumped off somewhere? Is the axe head loose? And then fix it before it comes off, right? Fix it before you lose it. Do what's needed to grow and to keep it strong. That's what you're doing here this morning, by the way. You're in God's house on Sunday morning and you're studying the Word and all of these things that helps you grow and keep the axe head strong, right? That's what we need to do. It would have been quick and easy for this student to just do a quick and easy repair. Do like my grandpa used to do, drive a couple of nails in the end of that handle. You know what I mean? Make it tighter. Drive some nails in there. Drive some spirit nails in that thing. Spirit of God, help you keep it strong. When's the last time you did that? The devil would prefer that you never pay it any attention. He would just prefer you just go on, don't pay any attention. Just let her go. And then fall later. So we need to check it out often. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you've never given your heart to Jesus, then God is doing that same thing for you today. He's putting it out there. It's free. It's a free gift. He's putting it out there. And He's putting it out there toward you. And I pray that you would respond to His mercy and grace. Jesus went to the cross. He died for you. He died for you. Died for me. For our sins that was keeping us separated from God. He was buried and He rose again victorious and triumphant. Jesus offers His ultimate sacrifice of His life's blood on the cross as payment for our sins. It's a decision that you make for Him. You make a decision for Christ. You believe, as Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you believe and then you ask. Been some of those decisions made lately, haven't they? Amen? Wonderful. Maybe you've already done that. You've not connected here yet. Then come and won't you join? Maybe a membership like Joey did last week. How about it? Let's stand to our feet and pray.